Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The story of Maya Angelou's extraordinary life has been chronicled in her multiple best-selling autobiographies, but now she is sharing the deepest personal story of her life, the relationship with her mother. Anyone who has read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings knows that she was raised by her paternal grandmother in Stamps, Arkansas. In her new book, Mom and Me and Mom, she details what brought her mother, Vivian Baxter Johnson, to send her and her oldest brother away when Vivian's marriage began to crumble. It is a great pleasure to welcome Maya Angelou to the program. Thank you very much for being with
us. Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you again.
It is a delight to have you on the program. Did you think that you always eventually would write about your mother?
Well, it was like a scent in a room. You couldn't quite tell whether it was roses or lilac or lavender. I somehow knew that I wanted to. About 15 years ago, I tried, but the book wasn't ready for me, and nor was I ready for it. I tried again 10 years ago, but when I tried about a year and a half ago, it came readily. It was painful, but it didn't slow down. It didn't put its feet in the dirt and say, I will not come. I think I had learned enough to try to tell its truth. It could sound sapid, but I don't mean it to. It's just that I learned that I had thought my mother loved, didn't know anything about love. But the truth is she was a terrible parent of small children. She had such anger and such ferocity. And she said that once I was sitting on a porch and she was there and I was 3 years old, and I asked for something, and she didn't give it to me. And I slapped her on the leg, and she said, without thinking, she backhanded me off the porch. And she saw me scrambling in the dirt, and she thought, I'm not ready to be a parent. And there are people who really are parents, excellent parents of small children. I mean, they dress them up in the cutest little clothes and put bow ribbons in their hair and put the little boys in bow ties, and they're amused by anything they say. But my mother was not like that. But those same parents, when those children reach 13 or 14, they can't bear them. They say, shut up, sit down. Don't you have homework to do? Go over there and sit, find your place somewhere and sit down. And would you like to go out? My mother was a great parent of a young adult. There was no better person. She talked to me with respect. And she liberated me because she loved me. But I didn't know that all those years ago.
You would refer to her as lady.
Yes. I really couldn't call her mother. She wanted me to, but I couldn't. She didn't look like a mother. And she told me after I'd been with her a few months, she said, you'll have to address me as something. What would you like to call me? And I said, I'd like to call you lady, because you look more like a lady. She wore lipstick and high-heeled shoes, and she played records and danced in the living room and in the kitchen. She said, all right. She didn't argue. She said, all right, and I'll introduce myself to my friends as lady. And she did. I liked her for that. I liked her that she didn't just pull the weight of being my mother and the adult and the elder, and she'd say, you have to do this. She didn't. She became Lady Baxter. And at the back of the book, the town she lived in named its latest park for her. And there's the statement in the back of the book. The town says, this park will be known as Lady B Public Park, Lady Baxter Public Park.
It's a very nice way to end the book for the naming of the park site in 1995. In this portrait of your mother, we get an idea of a small woman who had this larger-than-life presence. Yes. She had quite a life. First black woman officer in the Merchant Marines. She had a gambling business and a rooming house, and, of course, was mother to you. Yes. And that, while that at times came at the bottom of the list, it was still an incredible resume, I assume, for you to ponder in writing this.
Yes, indeed. She would not lie. And she told me she wouldn't lie because she was too mean to lie. And she said no one frightened her enough to make her lie. And she liked me because I wouldn't lie. But she said, you don't lie because you're so good. It's just that you're proud and you don't want to be caught in a lie and have somebody say, oh, I caught you. So you tell the truth because of your pride. But that's all right. Sooner or later, you'll understand that to tell the truth is just the easiest thing to do. She liberated me.
In what way? How do you feel that she liberated you?
I was 6 foot tall by the time I was 15. I wasn't pretty. And everybody in my family seemed to have been very pretty. And I looked okay. I was smart, but my brother was the smartest, and if my family came closest to making a genius, they came closest with my brother. So I didn't have him, and I had been raped when I was seven and a half, and I stopped talking for years. I just had problems, but Vivian Baxter, because she loved me, and respected me, and spoke to me about issues. She'd read the newspaper, and she'd read about incidents, and it was World War II, and after World War II, and then she'd talk about issues, and she'd ask, "What do you think, Maya?" And she'd listen and carry my argument forward, or say, "Well, I disagree with that, and let me tell you why." I really came to not only like her, I came to love her.
What impact do you think she had on you as a mother?
Well, I learned that because she was on my side, I learned that the thing a parent should do, a mother and father should do, is be on the child's side. Not on the side of the principal or the teacher or the preacher or the rabbi or the imam, not on the side of the shopkeeper. Be on the child's side. So she knows I've got power on my side. My mother and father will not embarrass me. Now, once you get the child home, if the child's actions were not up to stuff, were not right, then give him or her a chastisement and do whatever you think is fair to do. But do in public to respect the child. That's what my mother gave me, and it's what I gave my son. I respected him. And he said many times, one of the things I never questioned whether I was loved. I knew I was loved, and I was respected.
And, of course, this comes in retrospect, I assume, but you look back and see this wonderful opportunity that you had to love these two incredible women, both your mother and your grandmother.
Yes.
That served that role as mom.
That's right. Also, I had that brother. Bailey was small. At 15, I was 6 foot. At 17, he was 5.5 feet, but he was very pretty, and he told me that some people called me dummy because I didn't speak. He said, "Don't mind these people calling you dummy. They're stupid. You're smarter than anyone around here, except me, of course." It's just what a big brother always does. And he was telling the truth. I wasn't as smart as he. But he also supported me, even from my mother. And so I had that. And I don't know if any child can grow up without that self-esteem.
I don't know if it makes a difference to you or not, but your mother saw your success.
Yes.
Was that a moment in the relationship that changed anything?
No. She knew I was going to do something wonderful. She's the reason I became the first black person woman on the streetcars in San Francisco. And she simply knew I was going to do something wonderful. She said, "You see, what did you learn and from that experience?" And I said, "I learned that I had a wonderful protection because once I got the job, she would follow the streetcar. She'd take me out to the barn. I'd pick up the streetcar. And then she would follow it on those wet rails all the way through town down to the ferry building. And back, she wouldn't let any car get between her car and the streetcar where I was. And at daybreak, since I had a split shift getting there at 4 in the morning, at daybreak, she'd honk her horn and blow me a kiss and drive off toward home. In the meantime, she had her pistol on the seat beside her. When she asked me, "What did you learn?" I said, "I learned I had great protection." Probably the best I could ever have. She said, "Yes, that's all right. But what you really learn is with determination and intelligence, you can do anything. You can do the right thing." And, you know, Mr. Donahue, I have done many things. I conducted the Boston Pops and translated Cerebral Court in Yugoslavia, worked as a journalist in Cairo and taught theater at the Habima Theater in Tel Aviv. I've done many things because I thought they were there to be done and I could do them. If I could understand it, if I could comprehend it, and it was for me to do, I would do it. And Vivian Baxter gave me that.
So many of us feel at times that we hear words come out of our mouths that we realize come from our mother or father.
Yes.
And sometimes there are things even that we cringed at while we were growing up. But
it's true.
So that presence is very much with you now and today.
Writing this book was difficult. It came easily compared to the other times I tried to write it. But I had to let her come up and out of my memory and walk around in my house. And I could smell her perfume. She loved a perfume called Tweed.
Mm.
And I could smell her perfume. I had to get her down exactly as she was.
And when you could smell that perfume and remember who she was, is it almost a conversation that you have, or is it just a flood of memory?
A flood of memories. Sometimes the memories would be in spots, and I wouldn't remember the first. So how did that come about? How did that start? And I would just leave it alone. And by the next day, the whole thing would be back. How did it start? And how did it end? And why was it important to me?
And you look back on her as we approach Mother's Day with love and
yes.
fondness, and
yes.
I assume a feeling that you were very lucky to have her as your mother.
Absolutely. And she deserved having me. I ended the book by saying she deserved to have a good daughter who had a good memory and who adored her and could write. And she got one.
The name of the book is Mom and Me and Mom. It is published by Random House. Maya Angelou, it's always a delight and a pleasure and such a special experience talking to you, and I thank you so much, and I wish you...
Thank you very much.
Blessed Mother's Day as well.
Stay well.
Again, the title of the book is Mom and Me and Mom by Maya Angelou. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.